Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Couples TV Show with Greg and Sharon Clark. You have made a great choice. Now sit back, take notes, and expect your relationship to transform today. Now join me in welcoming your hosts, Greg and Sharon Clark.
Well, good afternoon, good afternoon. Welcome to the Couples TV Show here on a Monday. Sorry for the little bit late, a delayed start. Sometimes with technology, things occur and things happen, but we have the ability to flow and to keep flowing. And without I'm getting tongue-tied now. I just wanted to thank you again for joining us here on the Couples TV Show. I'm probably just losing my tongue a little bit, but I would like to take the opportunity to say happy belated Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, those who followed us, those who stream with us, those who listen to us, and even if you don't, happy belated Mother's Day. And, of course, this is your main man, Gregory Clark Sr., having a tremendous time. Hopefully in a couple of minutes, because Cheryl's in the middle of doing some things, that she'll be able to join us on today's telecast. But, of course, if you would like to call in, the telephone number is 347-996-3160. Again, the telephone number is 347-996-3160. And today's episode is going to be referencing conflict and the conflict resolution. Now, you know that there's always conflict that will occur in life. Things will happen. Things is going to, just come about in different ways and avenues, and it's up to us to figure out ways to come to a resolution where you don't keep regurgitating the same situations that happen. Now, if that becomes a common occurrence and you're always saying the same thing over and over and over again, then we know that we're dealing with a bigger problem, and it's not just about whatever the situation that is at hand. So, again, we're going to jump right into it as my computer gets itself in some sort of working order. Okay, here we go. And conflict resolution, 1 second, blah, 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 blah. As usual, you have to work with technology, and technology should be working for you. Now, peace is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to cope with it. I'm going to say that again. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to cope with it. And the reason why I say the ability to cope with it is that there's always going to be situations at hand, regardless of how much in love or how much that you're working with someone in a particular area or expertise. There will be levels of conflict, not conflict from the say that it should get to the point that it shouldn't have the opportunity to get to a resolution, but peace is the ability to understand that conflict will occur, but even though conflict occurs, you have the ability to deal with it in a common sense way and in a way where it doesn't inflict harm either on yourself or the person that you're dealing with. So when you understand that peace is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to cope with it, it always gives you the ample opportunity to understand that people are always going to have varying views, even in your own relationships, regardless of their business or personal. People are going to have their own views. See, one of the things that you have to understand, not everyone is supposed to just have your view just because they're your spouse or they're your business partner. We all have the ability to intelligently debate our feelings, our thoughts, and that is part of what makes up you. So even if someone wants you to change you, you have to see what are you changing for and is it for your benefit. Now, if it's for your betterment, then it's not actually a change that you're doing. What you're doing is actually augmenting your path. And sometimes we get caught up in the semantics of words when we hear the word change. But change allows us to say, maybe I can tweak this, or I can fix that, or maybe I wasn't as good in this particular area, so I'm going to figure out or find the information or seek out the resource that's going to help undergird or strengthen me in that area. And sometimes we get into conflicts over words. Sometimes we get into conflicts over our own inner feelings. And then those inner feelings become part of the conflict. But there's everything in life, there's always a resolution. There has to be. There's nothing that cannot be resolved. Now, the only time something cannot be resolved is when you don't wish it to resolve. Now, if you don't wish it to be resolved, then that's something different. So now we're not dealing with conflict resolution. We're dealing with something else. And I think for some of you who have was asking me about it, as you can call us on the telephone number, 347-996-3160. It's a pleasure to introduce to some and present to others the other half of the Couples TV show, Cheryl Clark.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. Sorry for my tardiness.
Couldn't hear you.
I said, thank you for joining us. Sorry for my tardiness today.
And what we was just sharing on was peace is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to cope with it. And I'll just give you a couple of moments, to Cheryl, for you to, you know, figure out what you want to share on that point. But as I was sharing with everyone, basically, that there will be conflicts. There will be situations where people will not have the same viewpoint or may not do things the exact same way. It doesn't make one person's side wrong or one person's side right. What it is that there has to be a commonality, some sort of common ground that can be agreed upon. And that's why when people talk about debates or, you know, I hear like my son who's in a club and he was doing certain things where they were, it was almost like a courtroom style, and he had to share his thoughts, and he had to come up with his opinion, and he had to express himself, and he had to analyze and be able to be concrete in his summation and in his points of view. It's just like with any lawyer. When you hear lawyers, and it's not about the Perry Masons or the law show that you'll see on TV, but when you get into your summation or you're getting to your point to share what it is that you want either the people who are around you, who you can call a jury, or if you want the person who's being arbitrarily there listening, who you can call a judge, is there to delineate, you start to understand that you are there to express your point regardless if it's right or wrong. That's why they even said if someone could be guilty, they still have the ability to seek counsel. So peace is not the absence of conflict, but it gives you the ability to cope with it, Cheryl.
I just want to liken statement from T.D. Jakes when he says, don't just confront issues, but if you have the strength to be confrontational, then have the wisdom to have the conflict resolution.
Okay, because I can hardly hear you. I can hardly hear you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
I'm likened to a statement that Bishop Jakes had, T.D. Jakes had said, don't just confront issues. If you have the strength to be confrontational, then have the wisdom to have conflict resolution. And when it comes down to conflict resolution, there's always we always know how to get into the conflict, but little of us know how to get out of the conflict. And a lot of times when you are in conflict, we tend to, the most thing that we can do, especially in a relationship, in a married couple, is that the difficult thing is to stay, not to attack the person, but to attack the issue. And a lot of times we tend to not separate the behavior from the problem of the person or whatever is going on. And we tend to join in with whatever the attack is on the person or for whatever reason it is, and it comes to be difficulties in the relationship when it comes down to conflict. So having peace in conflict is like an oxymoron, because the simple fact of a lot of times when there's a lot of stuff going on before, when we talk about forgiveness and all kind of other things, there's no way in the world if you're not forgiving of another person in a relationship, that's where a lot of marriages fail. And it keeps going on in a cycle of unforgiveness. And also what I was listening to T.D. Jakes. He said it's like a cancer. Unforgiveness is like a cancer that would destroy a marriage. And he believes that a union has to have some type of maintenance and upkeep, not just for crisis management. And I thought that was very interesting. And as far as if you're walking around with unforgiving about your spouse or whatever it is that you're walking around with, it is going to affect the marriage. And as African Americans, we had to fight for the institution of marriage itself from the very beginning. The marriage of is being undermined and stuff of that nature. And so having that being said, the pathology of marriage within African-American culture has to be worked on in the upkeep, not just in a crisis management. Right?
Oh, that's very good. I like that, that thought about the crisis management, not just to use it, because sometimes we wait to look for a cure when we could have been doing the progress with maintenance over time instead of just waiting till things blow up to its ugly head and then we're trying to figure out why things in pieces around us. But here's another thought that I'm going to share, and it deals with conflict resolution rules. And it's six simple truths that are being shared here. Number one is agree to resolve the conflict. Now, it goes back to something my wife just said that T.D. Jakes shared, and this probably deals with his book, Instinct, which I'm hearing is a tremendous item to pick up, and I think I'm going to take the opportunity to go grab a copy. You have to be able and to agree to resolve the conflict. How do you feel about that, Cheryl?
Absolutely. There's no way it can ever be resolved if you cannot have that. There's no way. That's the first step.
Number two is take turns talking and do not interrupt. Now, I'll be the first one to admit that there have been times where I've engaged in, you know, disagreements with my wife, and I found myself interrupting her. And one of the things that I'm seeing, that's poor, that's not me learning. Well, I'm looking at this chart now, which I'm going to save, and if those who wish to receive a copy, can always email us or hit us up on our Facebook page, either at the Greg and Cheryl Clark Facebook page or the Couples TV Show page if you would like us to send this to you, excuse me. But definitely that I've been guilty of not upholding rule number two. What about you, Cheryl?
Yeah, there's been times of that. You've been guilty of that, but it's just the point of knowing what to do and how to do it. You start to learn how to have conflict resolution and apply it in the relationship.
Number three, as they would say, no name calling. Now, name calling, depending on the situation, depending on your particular relationship, can come in different forms. And I know my wife is a stickler with me because I've been guilty of that in the past. I may not, call her a disrespectful name, but I may say something that she feels is inflicting something towards her, and then we have to figure out, where we're going. Not from the sense of being derogatory, but just from the sense you could be expressing yourself about a particular situation that may not have nothing to do with the argument, and then it becomes something else. So what do you feel about no name calling, Cheryl?
Oh, you said it. I don't believe that name calling should ever be done, even with our children and even with you working out with the it's just a bad taste. Why would you call someone that is supposed to be your spouse and a reflection of you a name? If you call them stupid, you're stupid. If you call them ugly, you're ugly. It's just a point where why call someone a name and they are you? So you're just, for me, you're looking in the mirror every time you call a name. And at this point, why would you even be rude or disrespectful to that other person if the other person asks you not to? And you know if it's a sore spot for that person. Why go there? And it's just, that would be, for me, would be deliberate. And at that time, in those times, is when somebody has to understand that, what is your worth? Are you going to continue to have someone berate you and call you names and call you out your name? Or when you don't know when it's time to just walk away? Or you don't know when it's time that, when it's time to say, you know, there's no time. It's just, there's certain things where it just lacks up. It goes from name calling, it goes to something else, and it goes to something else. It can kill a spirit. And once your spirit is gone, it takes a minute to get it back. It can get back, but it just takes work to get it back.
Right? Definitely. And number four is be truthful about what is bothering you and state it clearly. Because at times, as my wife stated, you can get into conflict, and it's not about just focusing on us. You can be in a disagreement with words. It could be a business conflict. And sometimes what is truly bothering you may not necessarily be what the argument is about or the conflict is about. It could be something else that happened a month ago. It could have happened a day ago. It could have happened 3 days ago. It could have happened a minute ago. It could have happened 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years ago. But all of a sudden, whatever it is, you're allowing it to be part of the situation as dealing with the situation now. And not necessarily has nothing to do with anything, but yet you bring it into it just to state your case in reference to the present situation that is going on. So be truthful about what is bothering you and state it clearly. What do you have to add, Cheryl?
God bless. What I have to add is that a situation where you bring things into a relationship that, like I said before, when you attack the person and not the issue, that is where that has to be learned, that if you are continuously attacking the other person and the issues are not being ironed out, it's just a cycle of just the same thing over and over and over again, whereas it can be, nothing is going to be accomplished because you're so busy worrying about what happened in the past. And instead of living in the rearview mirror and looking back all the time, and you ever notice that, I hear this a lot, the rearview mirror is smaller than your windshield.
Mm-hmm.
Because your future is brighter than your past. You learn from your past, but what's ahead of you is so much more to see. But if we keep looking in the rearview mirror, then we're going to be stuck and possibly have an accident. And also, when you start ripping off wounds and stuff like that, and then it's bleeding, and then you put a Band-Aid over something that needed stitches, it's just a perpetual cycle that will continue to destroy marriages, relationships, family relationships, if you don't learn how to do the conflict resolution. It's a system to be put in place, and it's just showing you and us how to manage and have maintenance in our relationship, because every relationship is different. We may be married, but we're married to different people, and we need to learn each other's temperament and each other's triggers and each other in general. And when a person at one point becomes, you know, emotionally, I heard Chidi Jace last night. I keep referring back to him because I was listening to him last night, and it is about the book, The Instinct, and he said that when a person is hurt, they sometimes their emotions can be homeless. They don't have a home, and I thought that was very interesting because hurt people do not understand how to deal with that until they deal with the hurt. and what to do with that hurt and how to deal with that hurt. And then most times, if you are married, they tend to put that hurt on the other person. And it becomes a continuous cycle unless you deal with your stuff and they deal with their stuff, and then you come back each other whole, and then you can have a relationship, a whole relationship. Okay?
Yeah, before I go on to number five, you made a valid point that I wanted to expound upon about maintenance. What do you think, and this is from your perspective, what do you feel are proper maintenance tools before we go into conflict resolution rules 5 and 6? Because I think we have to kind of labor on this particular point about maintenance. What are some true dynamics or true things that could be helpful when it comes to the maintenance aspect of a relationship? What do you feel?
In the form of marriage?
Well, you said that you made a statement, not just paraphrasing over what TDJ said. You made a statement in reference to how you have to have maintenance over time, and even I shared a little bit of it in the beginning in reference to, instead of waiting for the cure, it's like someone who is sick and they know that, okay, if you change the way you eat, if you start exercising, you don't stop eating certain things and start become more active, you're going to get to a particular point where instead of you just doing certain steps where you're maintaining yourself now, that you're towards the end when things are going more chaotic and crazy towards the end of something, now you're just looking for someone to cure you. It's like finding cancer at stage one where it's probably 95% curable or 98% curable, and it's like, okay, if you do these steps now, well, we caught it now, at this particular stage, you won't have to deal with it, and we can eradicate it, and it'll be gone, and you don't have to deal with it again. But then you have those who keep rehashing and keep going on and keep going on, and next you know it's at stage 4 or 5, and I say, okay, I just need you to give me the cure. Like, wait a minute, if we'd have dealt with it at stage 1, you wouldn't be coming here looking more deteriorated now at stage 4 or 5. So that's what I'm talking about.
Well, first of all, I'd like to start by saying that there is no quick fix, and a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people will want a quick fix. And you didn't get in it overnight, so it's not going to clear up overnight. And that's what we need to start off by saying. There is no quick fix. It's a process. And even when people come into therapy, anything like that, we have to, there's a stage. We assess the patient when they come in. We do backgrounds. We do everything else to see what is going on and is triggering, what is your triggers in with making something a conflict. Because what is a conflict for you may not be a conflict for me. So a lot of times, I feel with me in this situation is having a healthy relationship, because that's what we all would like to have, is having a discussion together about it to build each other up and to build a relationship up. And because it's nothing like you assuming something that the other person thinks. Because just like the last thing you said about being very honest about what it is, and then not contradicting what the person is saying. So why I say that is that if someone is stating that, you know, this is what I need, and you're going back and forth, and if the person is saying, you know, okay, we're going to go ahead with this plan, and this stating what you're saying, and then you go back on what we said before about name-calling, and then you start name-calling and going back into the bad habits. The thing is, we never as an individual got whole. And as individuals, broken individuals coming into a relationship is problematic. And we need to understand that we are not perfect, because everybody has some type of imperfection. And learning to love that person's imperfections is a big step into conflict resolution, because now you are not even – you're taking on something that is a big step even in society, because we understand that we all come with stuff and issues and things of that nature. And in a relationship or marriage, if it doesn't end up working, we have to allow ourselves the experience of saying, I need to get myself together. You know, a lot of times when people do leave a relationship and they jump into another relationship, not clearing up from the past, they find themselves in the same situation as they was prior. And why is that? It's because we haven't gotten ourselves okay. Nobody can fulfill something that was lacking in me. I have to deal with that in my own way and in my own self, because there's a point where we have to fix us first. Am I answering your question or no?
No, you are not. I'm listening.
Okay. So I just think that we have to fix us first and before we start going on, and it's a process of time that will heal it. And the first thing is to understand that it's not a quick fix, whether it is to get in some type of personal development. That is very key, personal development, so then you could have a cooperative development, because you cannot have development cooperatively if you are broken personally. So I believe in not a quick fix. I believe in building up trust in the other person, because when trust is gone, and that's a whole nother subject, when trust is gone, that's a whole nother thing. I won't go on there. But, you know, building up trust, feeling safe to be able to be yourself and to speak and to have things be on the table. And a lot of people say, oh, the problem I have with people, or the problem I have with that person. And the thing is, you wouldn't have problems with people if you know yourself. So it's all about how you engage with other people and being authentic as you possibly can. Right?
So definitely from what I've gathered that you said, which was very good, maintenance starts with, self-assessments. As you stated, you know, no one can fill a void in anyone else, which was very good, because at times we sometimes seek what we wish for ourselves, regardless of whatever the situation is. It could be body-wise, regardless of whatever it is. It could be at times we can put what we feel about ourselves on the other person. And then by that, it becomes exacerbated, because now it's almost as if you're asking the other person to either help rectify or help situate a situation that is already resonant or inertly within that particular person. So which is very good what you said, self-assessment, you know, learning how to use these rules and keep going back to these rules, because these rules are not about just, you know, just regurgitating it one time and just saying, okay, yeah, I read these rules once, okay, I know it. No, because just like we both said, at times, rule number two, taking turns, talking, do not interrupt, we personally have both been, both not utilized that rule to its utmost. But that flows down to other five, and that probably goes back. That's why I wanted Cheryl to share on maintenance before we jump to rule number five. You must listen to the other person and be sure you understand how they understand the problem. See, at times we can go all about and say, well, within my understanding and within my understanding. But at times we have to look and understand, how does the other person understand the problem? Sometimes that, as Cheryl said about, you know, dealing with trust, sometimes that could be a bigger issue in the conflict, because now we're dealing with trying to inertly find out what someone's almost inner processes are in reference to whatever the particular situation is. It could be anything. So now not only are you there to listen, but now you're trying to understand and at the same time trying to reanalyze the situation based on how the other person is either taking it, referencing it, regurgitating it, sharing it back, not sharing it back. And sometimes when it comes to coming to a common resolution within the conflict, sometimes that can be an opportunity to still see blockage there. Because now instead of it just saying, okay, I heard what you said, I'm starting to understand what you're saying, I want to take the opportunity to understand it, but not only are you trying to understand it for your own self, you're trying to understand it for the other person. And sometimes that can exacerbate the conflict. What do you have to say to that, Cheryl?
I have to say that I think that a lot of times, for me, what it boils down to with conflict resolution is that when you just are just not accepting, especially when there's two selfish people coming in there with different backgrounds, different personalities, and all these bad habits that we may have because we were, before we got married, we was all about self. Before we had children, it was all about self. So that's where the maintenance come in at, because you throw all these bunch of scenarios in the bowl, and then you expect for it to be hunky dory and not be heated sometime, and it not to have any trials and tribulations during your life. And guess what? You're bound to have conflict, and it's unavoidable. And the thing is, since every marriage has its levels of tension and its stages, I would say also of issues, avoiding them can really come to a point where it could dissolve the marriage. And the conflict can lead to the process of oneness, isolation. Someone can just be in a relationship and they're isolated, and you won't even know that everyone's living a separate life, so you have to understand when it occurs and how it occurs in a marriage. Conflict can be resolved with the proper tools in place, and it's all individually done, meaning by the individual couple, and using task oriented things, meaning that what I mean by task-oriented is that when we are talking in a conversation, and Greg is saying we're taking turns, and that's a task, and, you know, we're saying, let me write this down, what you're saying, so I can understand, because I'm a writer-downer. I write down things so I can understand it to the point where you're not missing anything. And if you find when you write that something down, and you end up learning more and being able to break through some things that your spouses were saying to you if you see it on paper. And a lot of times when my husband would ask me something, I would write it down just to be on point about what he's asking me about. And I would always bring back and say, this is what you asked me for in this situation, and I had to learn this because where I came from, I did not see a healthy marriage. I came from my mother was married to my father, however, separated before I was even born, so I really did not see, and all I saw was my grandparents, and that was generations ahead of me, which I learned something so, I would say, I'm never going to be like my grandmother. But I see now that a lot of times I am what I saw, because a lot of times my grandmother would make sure that she was that person. My grandmother didn't really say much, but when she did, she gave us wisdom, and she made sure that my grandfather was taken care of, and her children was taken care of, and everyone around her. So, and there's a lot of times where we see, and we say, oh, I'll never be that person. And it will come about that you are that person because you are your background. You bring on things, your personality, and it just comes into marriage. Now, you have to take that and mesh it and be your own. I became my own woman in this relationship. I had to learn and look for different marriages and see what things I like what she's doing as a wife, what things I like that they're doing as husband and wife. And that's a lot of times you can learn from, I would recommend get under a couple that is positive, that's treating each other in a healthy relationship. I'm not saying that they're not struggling in other ways. However, when you see a couple that you would like to admire, ask them, how do you make it work? What are you doing? What is your strategy? What is it? And I'll show you one of the strategies is that you have to learn to compromise. You have to learn your language for your marriage, because your marriage doesn't look like mine. So that's what I think, that's a good thing. And to overcome selfishness. There's a lot going into that, and we spoke about that in depth in another radio show. Greg?
Definitely. Everything you shared was very concise, and it was very to the point, and it was very understood and well needed, and it's so true that at times it's not about empathy, but it's about just allowing yourself just to hear the situation, even though it's going through your ears. But at the same time, you have to process it for yourself and for the other person as well. So that leads to the sixth one, which if you work out number five properly, number six is something that can definitely happen, and it simply states, be willing to compromise. See, we can go through all the first five steps, but at times people are not willing to compromise. People are not willing to move from their particular stance, or they're going to be steadfastly holding on to what they believe in. And at times, that doesn't lead to the situation of something being resolute. Because now it's as if, like, okay, I'll tell them, you know, what I feel that they want to hear, but at the same time, I know I'm going to do what I wish to do. Or I'm going to do what I want to do because that's the way I was raised, or this is the way I did this, and this is the way I did that, or this is the way I saw this, or this is the way I saw that. That's not compromise. Compromise now starts to take the first five rules and say, well, you know, I'm not necessarily supposed to get everything that I wish. And that's not a negative, because that's about compromise. Now, if I get some of the things I expect, and then my partner's getting some of the things that she expects or he expects, then somewhere in the middle, there's some happy level, as Cheryl was saying, you know, deal with individuals because no one is perfect. But if you're dealing with a couple, or you're dealing with mentors, and I even say us as well, that we go through our ups and downs, but at the same time, there are still strategies that we are utilizing for ourselves that we are willing to share and help others to grow and to aspire to be as strong in their relationships. And it all goes back to that sixth point, being willing to compromise. There are so many things that I was raised up in, and as Cheryl states all the time, you know, the way she was raised and the way I was raised, that I understand there's certain things that I definitely don't bring from that particular background. And I'm not saying that it's bad or good, but to me, it has no place in this now situation. And that's from my perspective. Now, when Cheryl starts to share, she may have her own perspective. And there are certain things that, you, as you said, you have certain resources that happen from your past experiences that, you know, it could be to, you know, how you take care of yourself, washing clothes, you know, things, chores, certain things that are part of your extrasensual situations that kind of shaped who you are, that you always continue to go back to. Those are understandable, but at the same time, there's no actual good thing, there's no actual bad thing. What it is just those experiences that you go back to as a resource. But at the same time, it would be wrong for me to say, well, I was raised in this particular household, and this is how things was done, and that's how we're going to do it here. That would be totally inertly wrong, because now I'm taking the experiences, which I know are not fundamentally totally perfect, and trying to instill it into something that's dealing with my now situation. It's as if I'm taking my mother's household, and I'm trying to turn my present household into what I dealt with as a child, or what I saw as, you know, adults around me doing. Now, so what some of the adults did around me, certain things were great, and I siphoned them off, and certain things I still utilize to this day, certain things I don't need to utilize at this time. And there were things that probably wasn't what I would consider to be adverse. And certain things just don't necessarily even just, okay, that was their experiences, and that's where it's going to stay. So sometimes when we get to that rule number 6 about being willing to compromise, it becomes a bigger issue to say it's not compromising because of the particular conflict at hand, but you will have less conflict if you're willing to compromise in a whole. Cheryl?
Well, I believe there's a simple point, a form of healthy compromises. And negotiations and it's very vital. And it's possible in a relationship to have negotiations. And this just simply means seeing it through the other eyes of the other person, involved in the situation or problem, basically. And why I say that is because healthy compromise, it involves both parties. And you are able to come to a healthy compromise because neither one of you feels slighted. Because you've come to a compromise, you've given your word, you've given what you feel, he's given what he feels, and then you come up with a plan that you both have had some type of input in. And the point is, we can't be too entrenched in our own views to not be able to negotiate or adapt or change to have some type of compromise.
Mm-hmm.
We must know how to compromise and negotiate with each other to come to a healthy end, because that is what you're going to understand that in a relationship, in a marriage, you're going to show this, how to compromise. And if you do not do this in front of your children and everything like that, they're going to see that they're going to always have their way. If one person's always going to have their way and it's the highway, then that's not compromising. That's not negotiating. That's not negotiating. That is somebody that just wants to have their way. And healthy compromising and negotiating is a win-win possibility for a relationship. Okay?
Definitely. And when you start to think about it, for that last one, for number 6, it's definitely helpful. And it goes into all the stuff that you can deal with when people circle of conflict. Your value system, your interests, which type of structure you're in, the type of relationships that you're dealing with, regardless of it's personal, business, or social. What type of data are you processing that you're actually utilizing for your information? And then actuality, the externals and moods, which flow into the different situations at hand. And at times, we don't like to, you know, understand or accept that these things can deal with the value, or, I mean, deal with the circle of conflict. Like, if I just deal with values, you know, your belief systems, what you consider right and wrong, good and evil, you know what I'm saying, just and unjust. Those things alone can influence what a conflict is going to go through. If you're talking about your relationships, be past negative experiences, whatever type of stereotypes that you feel that you have, that either you've absorbed and become, or things that you feel or believe of others. Sometimes it could be our poor or even our failed communications, and sometimes we can have a repetitive negative behavior that we may not necessarily understand that we are doing, but comes to create conflict or inflict more pain within the conflict circles. And especially when you're talking about data, the lack of information or misinformation or sometimes too much information, sometimes our collection problems, how we decode or encode, those type of situations can, you know, throw stuff awry in a particular conversation. Then the conversation becomes a disagreement, a disagreement leads into a conflict. Then when you start talking about people's interests, you know, each party's wants, needs, fears, hopes, and concerns, those things can come into play as well, because if there's no love of commonality, there's always going to be conflict. If it could be a married couple, okay, I like sex like this, your partner likes sex like that, there's no healthy compromise in the middle, there's always going to be a problem, because what you want and what they want is always going to butt heads, and then it's going to lead to something else, and then it's going to lead to something else. Then when we look at the structure of how we do it, is it because of limited physical resources, time, or dollars that influences, that causes, or helps exacerbate the point of conflicts, you know, authority issues? And it's not about man being ahead and all this other stuff, but sometimes that comes into a conflict. Sometimes it could be, going back to, you know, physical resources with money, sometimes money could be the conflict that leads into other stuff that creates more conflict. Organizational mm-hmm. structures, and sometimes your geographical constraints. Sometimes you want to be in a particular area, and because of the fact that you're not in a particular area, causes conflict, unbeknownst to the other person, or unbeknownst to even yourself. Oh, I feel we should be living here, or doing this and doing that, and because of that, you know, we can do this, and we can do that, or you can do better, or I can do better, and then it becomes a nasty cycle. And then when you're talking about the externals and how it can influence your moods, you're talking about factors, you know, that are unresolved when it comes to the dispute, you know, the psychological or the physiological. And you know what I'm saying? When people feel like they have a bad hair day and, you know, and the like, and you just, you know, those can influence, you know. One thing I know about my wife is a stickler when it comes to, you know, certain things, when especially, you know, when she goes out in public, she makes sure she's dotting every I and crossing every T. Now, who's to say there could be a day that we're going out and something happens or occurs, and that might be an influencer. Same thing with me. I'm a very stickler when it comes to, I would consider myself a sneakerhead. I love sneakers. I've always loved sneakers. And say if I'm walking outside and, you know, I scuff one of my shoes, that might put me in an external mood that has nothing to do with nothing else, but that just throws everything else into a monkey wrench. So sometimes we have to understand that sometimes what we do outside of ourselves, away from your partner, can influence how you interact and create conflict within your own relationship. Cheryl?
I think you was right on. You said a lot.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to. I just saw this. I mean, I'll put it like this, yeah, because to me that'll be kind of fair. Like, if I go back to values, I would like you to share, like, on values, because we have a little bit of time left, and, you know, I did speak a lot. But, like, values, whether it deals with your belief systems, what people consider right or wrong, good or evil, just and unjust, how do you feel that that can influence conflict?
I think you mean personally?
Yeah. Because everyone has a belief system. Just like you were raised in a particular way, I was raised in a particular way. And somehow those past experiences shaped us, but at the same time, we should neither one of us should be, or just the same way we would tell anybody else, neither one of us should be living through those past experiences.
True. The what I would say about the value is I believe that a woman, or if you're the relationship between a man and a woman, is more complementary, because a lot of times in a marriage you will find that a one mate is stronger in an area than the other, and a lot of times where that mate may lack, the other person can be able to step in to fill that. And if they can start to create a value system for that family in general, because you go in with one value system, and then you start to create your own value system cohesively. And a lot of times we have a problem when it comes down to, goes again, to negotiation, to the compromise, to how we are going to really work out our differences, because I feel that we are very different. Greg and I are very different on a lot of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Very different on how we see things, our perspectives, a lot of things, and that type of relationship takes a lot of work. That type of relationship takes a lot of maintenance. And if you do not understand that the perspectives that we see are different,
and what we are about is that the main goal here is to be on the same team and are fighting for the same basic goal at the end. And the point of saying fighting, not fighting each other, or I shouldn't say fight, but racing to the same race, or we in the same on the same team. And a lot of times when you have people that are very different from each other, we tend to then start competing against each other. And that has happened a lot of times in a relationship where, especially when you work together in a business, you can kill the business because you start to compete against each other when it wasn't, you wasn't even in a race with each other. So if that makes any sense, I think the value systems you come in with, the value systems that you come in with, is going to be different from the, I think the value systems that you're going to end up with in the end of, you know, in the first year of marriage, second year of marriage, third year, and when it goes up and up and up. I just think your value systems is something that is cultivated over time, and encouraging other couples that to start valuing each other's opinions, perspectives, and interests. That's what needs to be done. To start to just to value the differences in each other, because that's probably something that really you know, drew you to them in the first place, and it's ending up, that's the one thing that you cannot stand. So it's about, for me, the value I think that we all can have for each other is respect. Because if we can have that and that be the only thing that we have, and that's the only thing that you stand on, if you can respect that other person and encourage their opinions, perspectives, and interests personally and come together in it cohesively, I think it's a you can on a verge of having a healthy marriage. Right?
Yes, that's very good. And that was the value section, and it's amazing that as she was talking about value, she jumped into the interest part, and she spoke a little bit about the relationships, and so you kind of, you know, brought everything together in a particular role that allowed everything to see itself through, which is a good thing. And one of the things that we always think about, and especially with the couple of minutes that we have left, you know, when you touched on the interests, sometimes, and I'll say it from my perspective personally, you know, there are times that I know that I may not have been as affable towards my wife's, you know, endeavors, not saying that I haven't supported. But you can support something or support someone doing something and at the same time may not, you know, ask about their day or ask about what they're particularly doing or, you know, just find out, you know, just shoot the fat or cut the fat or whatever it is the terminology is. And sometimes that can be a silent, you know, influencer in reference to conflict, because in her mind she's like, well, he doesn't ask about, you know, about me. He's not finding out about me. So since he's not finding out about me, that means he there's probably a part of him that doesn't care about me. And that can influence the situation overall. So I would suggest for anyone, and that's why conflict resolution, the rules for it are, and even the title of today's message episode was about the ups and the further ups. It wasn't about the ups and downs, because I don't see anything going down. Down is always you're dealing with perspective. There are always tributaries in everything that you deal with in life, and it's just how you navigate and what you call it will show how you can go through it and be better on the other side. So everything is about lessons to be learned. You know, even as Cheryl stated, you know, for us to have proper maintenance in our relationship, there are times that, you know, I have to check myself. I believe there are times that she has to check herself. You sometimes, you know, just to go see, you know, run through the list in your mind, you know, did I at least you know, ask her about her day? Did I at least inquire about, you know, something? Not just for the standpoint of getting something for yourself, just to shoot the breeze, having the conversation. Because even at times when you get can be with a person a long time, you start to notice that you don't have conversations like you used to. And it's so true when it goes back to it. The things that helped influence you to get together, sometimes as you continue on, which leads into conflicts, is some of the things that you don't do presently. So as a thought, as an overall thought to be done is that, you know, and that goes for men and women, you know, remember those things that you did or some of the things. I mean, we're not telling you to turn back into a teenager again, but just remember some of the things that you did that allowed you to be happy with your spouse and your spouse to be happy with you. And then if you start to understand and check yourself to see that maybe I'm not doing some of these things, then there's a reason why there's certain discord that's going on. Cheryl, do you have anything to add for the last couple of minutes?
No, I just thank everybody for joining us today. It was a pleasure having you guys, and hopefully you'll be able today, if you can just take away from one thing that we said today about conflict resolution is a good thing to have. However, you can lessen the conflict in your marriage, in your business, in your relationships, if you could just have mutual respect for each other, meaning your feelings, your interests, and both having values for your spouse. If you put a value system in place for your spouse, I think that the interests of your spouse and they want to. Everybody just wants to feel appreciated. Everybody wants to feel loved, and everybody wants to know that, you know what, I matter, and that's what I think that a lot of times that in a marriage it just gives you some type of freedom spiritually, emotionally, to be able to be yourself in a relationship that it can. So marital problems, I believe, can, in retrospect, lessen if we could just have mutual respect and understanding for each other. Right?
Well, definitely. Cheryl, just thanked everyone. I thank you as well for taking the opportunity to listen to us at our new time slot. Also, you know, if you wish to like our page, you can definitely go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/ The Couples TV Show. That is just to this show, and also our main page where you can like us and follow some of the things that we put up, and that is on facebook.com/ Greg and Cheryl Clark. Or if you're already on Facebook, just type in Gregory and Cheryl Clark with an E at the end, and you'll be able to see us and add us and join us as we go along. So until the next time that we're here to share with you and to process information with you, we see nothing but the ability of you to go higher and higher. And at the same time, we expect and wish for you to do every single day is to breathe life and love daily. And by doing that, you have the ability to navigate, to grow, and to expand what it is that you're doing. So until the next time, on behalf of Cheryl Clark, this is saying so long, but not farewell, Middle East. Peace.